And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello, everyone. Today, welcome to show number 118. This is the Sports Kings from Queens. This is the SEC College Football Preview. We are Darren, Kevin, Gino. Please listen to us anywhere you get your podcast. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a share. Send us a question, a thought, a comment. We will talk back to you. We're going to start it off, Kevin. Let's start it off with a little bit about the overview of the SEC this year.
The Southeastern Conference, probably the only conference left of the country of the big ones that is actually still somewhat regional. They've expanded. You know, now that this year they've brought in Texas, they've brought in Oklahoma. You know, a couple of years ago they expanded out to Texas A&M and Missouri, so they are drifting a little bit west, but they're still fairly much still the deep south, and this is where football thrives. This is the preeminent conference in the land. They've won 13 of the last 18 national titles, six of them by Bama. You had Georgia go back-to-back in 21 and 22. Last year wasn't their year. You know, Michigan came through and won, but the SEC should be back on top this year. Preseason polls, Georgia 1, Texas 4, Bama 5, Ole Miss 6, Missouri 11, and so on and so on. 9 teams in the top 20 preseason. This is where football lives. Darren, I think you have a sleeper that you like, though, with all the big names that we mentioned, the ones that everybody thinks about, but you have somebody that you really have a close eye on.
I do, and before we get into it, just remember that when we're doing these previews, we know it's a lot of word salad, but we're just trying to make sure everybody understands a little bit about every team that your team is playing against. So we're just going to give you a little info. And Kev, thanks for the lead-in. I think Ole Miss is the team to watch in the SEC, and I know that sounds crazy, but I think things are going to go crazy out down on the Grove this year. Lane Kiffin has been great ever since he's gone to Ole Miss, okay? The team has played very well against the SEC gauntlet, which is not easy to do year in and year out. And they should be well in line to make the 12-team playoff, and I think they can actually flat out win the SEC, and I'm going to tell you why. The why is because the offense is explosive. No superlatives needed, just explosive. Jackson Dart, the USC transfer, was great last year. He's going to continue to be great. He threw for 3,400 yards, 23 touchdowns against only 5 picks. He ran for another 8 touchdowns. He makes that engine go. The wide receiver core is really good. Trey Harris returns, and South Carolina transfer Antoine Wells joins the squad. Tight end Caden Prickshorn should be all SEC. They have talent. The running back room loses Judkins. That's the big loss on this team. The running back Judkins was a monster. He goes to Ohio State. But they have some pretty good depth led by committee with holdover Ulysses Bentley, easy for me to say, and Henry Parrish comes in from Miami. O-line needs to be a little bit better. They were okay last year. Think they're going to be better. They get Washington offensive lineman Wayne Kalepo to help steady the line. Defense for Ole Miss. There is some room for improvement. I think they're going to get it this year. The front should be the strength with A&M transfer Walter Nolan joining J.J. Pegues down low. The thing about Nolan is he's probably a top 10 pick next year in the draft. He's that big. He's that powerful. They returned their top pass rusher in Jared Ivey, and they add transfer Princely Umana Million. I had an extra cut in there. On the other side, linebackers are going to be good. Arkansas transfer Chris Paul should quarterback the unit from middle linebacker, keep everybody in the right spot in the secondary, which was not good a year ago. We'll rely on transfers Trey Amos from Alabama and Isaiah Hamilton from Houston to help. They return both starting safeties, Trey Washington and John Saunders, who had really good years last year. The team gets that huge get with Nolan, and the big loss is Judkins, okay? So that's the guy they get. They get the defensive tackle to help stop it. They lose the running back that was kind of made the engine go last year. Here's the beauty of this team. No Alabama on the schedule. No Missouri. No Tennessee, no Texas, no Texas A&M, no Auburn, okay? Their big tests are Georgia at home, Oklahoma at home, and at LSU. Schedule lines up decent for this team. The big game for them is going to be November 9th against Georgia at home. Can they beat the big dog at home in Oxford? If they can do that, the Grove is going to go crazy, and Ole Miss is going to be the team to beat in the SEC. That's the way I see it this year. I think the schedule makers were really, really kind. Gino, you might disagree with me. There might be another team on top that you think wins the SEC. Who do you think that is?
Georgia. Georgia's the favorites right now going in. They are the favorites, according to Vegas, at 30 to 1 to win the national championship. This is a team with a Heisman hopeful. They wound up being ranked fourth last year. They were 13-1, lost to Alabama, didn't make the playoffs, but they blew out Florida State in the Orange Bowl 63-3. This is Kirby Smart going into season number 9. This is a team that lost 8 players to the NFL, so you know they had to regroup a lot of guys. And 2 first-rounders went to the NFL, and Brock Bowers and Amarius Mims. They lost some players in the transfer protocol. Big guy in the linebacker, Jermon Dumas-Johnson. But this was a team that had the number one recruiting class in the nation. They have – they're bringing back quarterback Carson Beck. That is the second favorite on the board for the Heisman Trophy at the moment at 85-1, only behind Dylan Gabriel, we talked about last week. They bring back defensive end Mikael Williams. Those are their 2 big players. In the transfer protocol, they wound up bringing in Trevor Etienne Jr. from Florida, Colby Young from Miami, Benjamin Yarks from Stanford. This is a team that basically has rebuilt the whole offense, a running back, a wide receiver, a tight end to give to Carson Beck, along with the number one recruiting class. This team is primed to get back there. They're going to do everything they can to be ranked right in the top. You talked about it before that one of their big games is Ole Miss. Another one is on September 28th at Alabama, and Alabama is the fourth selection odds-on favorite to be there for the national championship. So they're going to have Alabama, and then 2 weeks later, Ole Miss, which is 2 big games in 3 weeks. But we're going to see if Georgia can do this. You know, I know the season finished off a little disappointing for them after the season they had. They didn't get in, but we're going to find out if they have the gusto, if Kirby Smart can get them back there. Kev, who do you like?
One of the newcomers, the Texas Longhorns. Steve Sarkisian going into his 4th year. Last year, they're 8-1 and 12-2 overall, playing out of the Big 12. Their 2 losses, they lost the Red River rivalry. It really a barn burner game, 34-30 to Oklahoma. That was one of the better games of the year. And they lost a very fun college football semifinal to Washington. So they were that close last year, and I think they're going to be back again this year. On offense, they return Quinn Ewers. Hell of a quarterback. Top 20 in the college football rankings as far as the quarterback ranking goes. They still have this kid named Arch Manning, I think is the last name. He's still around. He's still backing up Ewers in case he falters this year. They're bringing back 4 of the 5 starting offensive linemen, so you know the line's there. They're going to need some help. They do lose their leading rusher, Jonathan Brooks, from last year, but they do bring back their 2nd and 3rd best, C.J. Baxter and Jaden Blue. The wide receiver room is where they've been hurt a lot. They've lost their top 5 wide receiver targets, including Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell. But they've added Silas Bodden from Oregon State and Isaiah Bond from Alabama, who has big plays last year for Bama. And they return the sophomore, Jonte Cook II, who looked pretty good last year. And they bring in a freshman, Ryan Wingo, nephew of Trey Wingo. Remember him from ESPN fame. So the offense, as long as wide receivers step up, this is still going to be terrific offense. On defense, the line took a couple of hits as well. They lost a tackle to Vondre Sweat, who won the Outland Trophy last year. And they lost Byron Murphy, but they brought in Bill Norton and Teole Savea from Arizona. And they brought in Jermaine Lowell from Louisville. And they brought in Trey Moore from UT San Antonio, who had 14 sacks last year. Yes, a little bit lower conference, but the guy can get to the quarterback. They returned the linebacking core. The secondary, they still return Malik Muhammad, who's one of the top cover guys in the league. They brought in Javion Cole from San Jose State and Andrew Mukuka from Clemson. I think the defense is still going to be solid. I think this is a good, well-rounded team. They've filled in the gaps where they needed to. And much like Darren said about Ole Miss, the schedule makers did Texas a big favor this year as well. You look at, especially compared to some of the other teams we're going to get to, they have one of the tougher preseason non-conference games. They go to the Big House. They play Michigan on September 7th. They only have Oklahoma at home, Georgia at home, and at Texas A&M. Very similar to Ole Miss when you start hearing some of the other teams that play 8-9 ranked teams. Texas is going to be there. Again, their big game is going to be much like Ole Miss at home against Georgia. It's going to be Texas at home against Georgia. If they can pull off that one, they have a great chance of winning this SEC conference. They're going to make the playoffs, no doubt about it. They're going to be one of the top 12. And once they're in there, they have as good a chance of winning the championship as anybody. Darren, anybody else you like?
Well, it's hard not to like Bama. Roll Tide. But they're going to be rolling without Nick Saban for the first time in a long time. So enter Kalen DeBoer and the new era of Alabama football. So last time they took a coach from the state of Washington was Mike Price, and that didn't end up really well. But I don't think this will be the same thing. Kalen DeBoer is 104-12 in his 8-plus seasons of coaching. Six of those 12 losses were his first year at Fresno State as he was getting that team up to par. So he's been outstanding, and he loves offense, okay? And Jalen Milroe returns at QB. And he's the guy for that this offense to go. He can run and he can throw and he can get big chunks. He just needs to be a little bit more consistent and accurate. But he does make big plays, and DeBoer is all about big plays. At wide receiver, Bama has the usual slew of talent, though it's all young mostly. I mean, and unproven. They get highly recruited Washington transfer Jeremy Bernard. And five-star recruit Ryan Williams will be front and center for the receiving core. Tight end C.J. Dupree will be a good one also. So they'll have weapons, just not proven on the outside. As you said, Bond transferred out. That's a big loss for Bama. The old line should be excellent in the middle, okay? Tyler Booker and Jaden Roberts at guard are excellent. And Washington transfer Parker Brailsford should anchor the best interior offensive line in the country. Now they need to make sure that the tackles hold up in this pass-happy offense. The top two running backs are gone, but super talented Jam Miller and Justice Haynes will do just fine. Alabama always produces running backs. They'll continue to do so. On defense, this is not the Boer specialty, okay? He's not a defensive coach, but his two co-coordinators are. Welcome in Kane Womack from South Alabama, who is the head man there. Great with linebackers. And then you get Maurice Lindquist, who comes in from Buffalo as their head coach. Great with the secondary. They have the talent. They're primed and ready to go. The D-line is solid, not spectacular like we've seen in past, okay? Keenan and Damon Payne and Tim Smith, they'll anchor the inside, while A&M transfer LT Overton and Jamarian Latham will start at end, okay? The linebacker should be excellent with Deontay Dawson and DeHot Campbell, and the secondary returns Malachi Moore, but loses super talented safety Caleb Downs to Ohio State, another major loss. Michigan transfer Keon Sab comes in. USC transfer Damani Jackson will also help at corner. But unlike Ole Miss, the schedule is tough for Bama, okay? They have to go to Tennessee. They have to go to LSU. They have to go to Oklahoma. And they play Missouri and Georgia at home. It's a gauntlet, okay? Five really good teams. The big game for me for this team is going to be the third Saturday in October at Tennessee, at Neyland Stadium. And why? Because DeBoer has to win on the road in hostile environments in this conference. Not easy to do. That will be a really big test. Nothing more wild than that third Saturday in October. Let's see how DeBoer is able to handle a road game in Neyland Stadium. I think Alabama is going to be there. I think they're going to be primed to make the playoff. I think that schedule makes it hard on them. G, who you got? Who you like?
I got LSU. I got the Tigers. This is Brian Kelly entering his third year. Last year they were ranked 12. They were 10-3. They wound up beating Wisconsin 35-31 in the ReliaQuest Bowl, which was a great game. This is a team that lost a ton of players. They lost six players to the NFL, and we're talking top-notch players. Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. Man, three first-round picks gone to the NFL. They got to rebuild this team. They lost a running back to the portal in Logan Diggs. So – what did they do? They wound up having the seventh-ranked national recruiting class in the nation. Problem is, you're dealing with the rest of the SEC, so they're only fourth in the SEC. But listen, they got Garrett Nussmeier coming back at quarterback now to replace Daniels. Will Campbell, the junior offensive tackle, he's going to be anchoring what could be the best offensive line in college football. They did add depth because through the transfer protocol, because they had to, they brought in wide receivers from Liberty and CJ Daniels, in Zavon Thomas from Mississippi State. And a big one, they brought in safety Jordan Gilbert from Texas A&M. He was injured most of the year. They're looking at him to be anchor the back of that defense. This is a team that needs to get off to a good start, though. Brian Kelly needs his team to get off to a good start, specifically in the SEC here. They open September 1st against USC. It's a big game for them. You wouldn't think it is, but it is, because if they get come out and look horrible, it's going to be a long season, because on this schedule in October, October 12th, Ole Miss, and then 3 weeks later on the 9th of November, it's Alabama. So you got two teams in 4 weeks, and if this season starts off bad, and listen, this isn't a team with a lot of guys that he's had on this team. I mean, he just lost a ton of guys to the NFL. So he's got to rebuild this as quick as possible. The transfer protocol allows him to do that, okay, because he could bring in some wide receivers that he lost. But this is a team that needs to rebound. They are the seventh-ranked team, according to Vegas, to win the national title. So they're going to be in this mix with the rest of the SEC. And, guys, by the way, the top seven ranked teams by Vegas to win the national title, five of them are from this division, from the SEC. So it's loaded. This conference is loaded. And four of the five Heisman hopefuls are from this conference as well. So this is a loaded team. LSU, though, primed to go on. Kev, who you got next?
Now, here's where you get into the little bit of the gap here. You have the top five, and those are the ones that are favored here that we've gone through so far. Now you're going to get some of these teams that they need things to break their way. And if they do, they're going to be challenging. But this is where the running the gauntlet of the SEC gets tough. You know, other conferences, they may be favored to finish second. Here, they're going to be battling for fifth or sixth place, possibly, including your Oklahoma Sooners. Good year last year. They went 7-2, 10-3 overall. They had a tough stretch there, back-to-back. They lost at Kansas and home versus Oklahoma State. Two games they lost right at the end of the game there. Ruined their season, basically. They did get the win against Texas in the rivalry game. But, you know, Oklahoma 10-3 is a little disappointing, to be honest. And now they've got to make some replacements. Dylan Gabriel, we mentioned in the Big Ten preview, transferred to Oregon. He's being replaced by his backer from last year, Jackson Arnold. Now, they still return their real good running back, Gavin Sawchuk. But their wide receivers, they'll be back as well. Nick Anderson, Jaleel Farouk, and Andre Anthony. But they have basically a new starting offensive line, four transfers in. They're going to need time to gel. And it's going to be tough. You know, when they open up, you know, right away with the SEC, they're going to be battling Tennessee early. They're going to be battling Texas, you know, in the second Saturday in October there. They got to need time to gel in this offense, and it's going to be tough. And then on defense, last year, their big problem was they gave up the big play. They missed too many tackles. They would let the quarterback escape pressure. They need to limit those things. They are returning some really good players like the linebacker Danny Stutzman, their safety Billy Bowman Jr., cornerbacks Kendon Dolby and Desan McCulloch. These are all real good backbone defensive players. Their defensive line is going to be really new. They only returned two of their top seven from last year. So they brought in guys like Caden Whaler from Miami of Ohio and Demonic Williams from TCU. But here's where Oklahoma's problem is going to be. With all these new players coming in, and I already mentioned Tennessee and Texas at home. They traveled to Ole Miss in late October. They've got at Missouri, home for Alabama, at LSU. I mean, you're looking at six teams there that are ranked. They're going to be real, real tough to beat. Darren, right at this level, who do you got?
I got to be honest. I have a team that I think is sneaky good that can get into the playoff right now. And that's the team no one thinks about. But Missouri Tigers have had a good year last year at 11-2. And they have a lot of things going for them. Coach Eli Drinkwitz has a sneaky good team in Columbia. Best team they've had since Gary Pinkel, like 10 years ago. Okay, this team will have a shot for the playoff if they play up to par. Okay, the offense is good as it returns quarterback Brady Cook, dual threat, extremely accurate throwing the football. Luther Burden might be the top wide receiver in the country, not just on this team. He'll be a top 10 pick next year. He's that talented. And Theo Weiss on the other side is good. So watch out for them throwing the ball. They lose everything running back Corey Schrader, who finished eighth in the Heisman last year, but add two talented transfers in Marcus Carroll from Georgia State and Nate Noel of our team, App State. They should be just fine. The O-line returns three starters from a good line a year ago and add in a couple of transfers from Oklahoma and SMU, respectively, and that team should be fine up front. Offensively, this team brings a lot to the table. The defense adds seven transfers to the front seven. Not all seven will start, but they bring in a lot of guys in the front seven, okay? The new look group is led by Michigan State defensive end transfer Zion Taylor and Florida State defense Florida defensive tackle Chris McClellan as they aim to help holdover Johnny Walker up front. Clemson transfer Toriano Pride will join forces with holdover Joseph Charleston in the secondary. The defense will be solid. Missouri, if you remember watching their two losses, they had Georgia on the ropes and gave it away. They had LSU beaten and gave it away. What happened was turnovers and penalties hurt this team in the fourth quarter. They will need to be better to get into that playoff. Here's why I like them to get in, though. No Georgia, no Texas, no Ole Miss, no LSU, no Florida, no Kentucky, no Tennessee. They visit Bama and they visit A&M, and they play seven teams that did not go bowling last year. Their big game is A&M, okay? They win that game on the road, they'll be 7-0 heading to Bama. And anything can happen if they're 7-0 heading to Bama. This team's got a lot of talent, and everyone's going to overlook them. But they, on any given week, have the best player on the field in Burden. We're going to see what happens. But Missouri is a team that is probably not as highly rated as some of the others, Gino, but they're probably up there in some sort of consideration in the top 15, I'd have to imagine, correct?
Yeah, I would think so.
So I pass it on to you, Gino. Who's your next squad?
It's Tennessee, the Vols. Ranked 17 in the country last year, 9-4. Wound up blowing out Iowa 35-0 in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. Josh Heupel, this is his fourth season as the coach. Back-to-back AP top 20 finishes the last 2 years. First time for Tennessee in 19 years this has happened. So he's got him playing well. He lost six plays to the NFL, biggest one being Jalen Wright, running back. He went to Miami. He lost a couple of guys in the portal. The big one is Tyler Barron, the edge rusher, and he lost safety Terrion McDonald. He needs to replenish the defensive guys here. He's got Nico Lamaleva returning at quarterback and senior Dominic Bailey at the defensive end. Those are his two key players on offense and defense. He brought some guys in the portal, which helps, right? Offensive tackle Lance Hurd, wide receiver Chris Basil, quarterback Jared McCoy. Tennessee brought in 15, they lost 15 players in the portal. They brought in nine, so a little bit of a balance. Decent recruiting class, number 13 nationally. Of course, it's 8 in the SEC, so that doesn't help in this conference. But listen, number 13 nationally. So he brought in 24 recruits, so they are replenishing. I think the thought with Tennessee is going to be get to another 9-4 season, get back to a bowl game. Two trouble spots on their calendar, though, is October 19th and 11-16. 10-19, they get Alabama at home, and 11-16, they're at Georgia. You said it before, Darren, the team you just talked about eliminated those. They don't get those on their schedule, what Tennessee does. Listen, I think 8-9 wins is probably their range. That's probably their outcome. They're on the board as like the 12th team to win the national title at 350-1. So they're on the board at least, but they're probably not in line for a national title phase. Kev, who do you got next? Because we're getting down. We may be moving down in a level. Let's see.
Not yet. There's still another team out there, the Aggies of Texas A&M. They're going to be sneaky good this year. Mike Elko. takes over. He was a Duke coach the last couple of years, turned around Duke's program. He takes over for Jimbo Fisher. Now, last year, they only went 4-4 in the conference, 7-6 overall, but they did lose Connor Wegman 4 games into the season. So if Wegman is back healthy this year and can play a full season, the offense returns pretty well intact. You know, they returned 3 offensive line starters from last year. Guy who missed most of last year but was a starter in 22, Ruben Fathery, he's back as well. So they've got a good offensive line. Their running backs, their top two from last year, Le'Veon Moss and Amari Daniels, they're both back. 3 of their top 5 wide receivers, Jadae Walker, Noah Thomas, and Moose Muhammad, are all back. So this offense is going to be good. The defensive line comes back pretty much intact. Here's where the problem is. Their linebackers in the secondary, 8 transfers in those 2 levels of the defense. So it's going to take them a little time to come together there. But if they can survive, you know, a little bit of the early season, get a couple of wins under the belt here, their 4 toughest games have to all be at home. They open up against Notre Dame August 31st. They're home for Missouri October 5th. They're home for LSU on October 26th. And they're home for Texas November 30th. Those are the only 4 ranked teams, at least preseason polls, that they play. This is one of the easier SEC schedules that you're going to see out there. They've got a real good shot here of getting to 8-9 wins. And with a break here or there, maybe 10 wins. This is a team that's going to be probably missing the playoffs, but they're going to be right there, I think, at the end of the season as one of the last ones in. They're going to be, if we can relate it to the college basketball, they're going to be on the bubble if everything breaks their way. A little quick on Texas A&M. Darren, what do you got next?
Well, we start getting a little bit more in the mediocre part of the SEC, and it's so hard to say that about so many of these teams because every single one of these teams is really good, less maybe Vandy, right? So we get to Kentucky, okay? 7-6 last year. Mark Stoops. The best thing you can say about Mark Stoops is that he's made Kentucky relevant, okay? Kentucky wins games they're supposed to win. The only problem is they don't win games they're not supposed to win, and that's why they're always somewhere in the middle of the pack. Last year was the first year that their defense actually gave up more than 300 points in a while, so the steady defense that Stoops had going for a long time wasn't there last year. They need to get a few upsets along the way in order to really kind of make a run, but this is a team that should go bowling if everything goes right. They have to start to try to make that next step, though. And as if for most teams, it all starts at the quarterback room. And the reason why the Wildcats are excited and the Wildcat faithful is pumped up is because highly recruited former Georgia recruit Brock Vandegrift comes in to take over the helm in Lexington, okay? They give him the keys to the offense. Let's see what this highly touted kid can do. At running back, another highly touted transfer has the Commonwealth all pumped up, and that would be Ohio State transfer Demontre Tranium. Should be a great addition to the offense. So now they're relying on 2 major transfers to kind of help them go. The receiving core is good, led by Dane Key, who comes back as the leading receiver, and Barrion Brown, who's that shifty return guy receiver, does a little bit of everything for them. O-line has to be better with the run. They did not block well last year. They return a solid center in Eli Cox, and Tennessee transfer Gerald Mincy should help out at tackle. On the defensive side, they are solid, and almost everybody is back, okay? They're just not spectacular. It should help keep them competitive. Deion Walker is an absolute stud at defensive tackle. They have a great rotation at nose tackle to help out, and J.J. Weaver returns at defensive end with his 7 sacks. Walker is a first-round pick. He's that good. Linebacker should be solid, led by Georgia transfer Jamon Dumas Johnson, earlier mentioned by Gino when talking about Georgia. He's a star. The secondary needs to be better. That was the problem last year. They return talent like Maxwell Hairston, who had 5 picks, and the safeties, Lovett and Childress, are short tacklers, but they need to step up. Here's the thing about Kentucky. They play only 4 road games the entire year, and all 4 of them are rough. They go to Ole Miss, they go to Florida, they go to Tennessee, and they go to Texas. They also get Georgia at home. So the schedule maker is not great, and 4 of their 5 toughest games are on the road. Biggest game for them, I'm going to say, is at Florida on October 19th. And the reason why is if this team wants to get 8 wins or even dare to get 9, they have to win one of these road games. Florida is the first of the 2 winnable games, Florida and Tennessee. I'm going to go with Florida as the first one to see if they can get that done. Let's see if Stoops can get magic going, and Kentucky can maybe get up to an 8-win team. Otherwise, I think they're a bowl team, but they're right a little over 500. G, where you going, brother?
We're going to Auburn. This is a team that had a disappointing 6-7 season last year. Hugh Freeze, second season coming on board here. This guy lost 5 guys to the NFL. Nobody in the first 4 rounds. So he still has good players on this team. The big thing with this is going to be he lost Robbie Ashford in the portal. So Peyton Thorne is taking over as the quarterback. This is his second year in Auburn, but this is after he came over from Michigan State. So they think between Peyton Thorne and the superstar 5-star recruit they brought in, wide receiver Cam Coleman, they got something going here. He wound up losing 2 wide receivers in the portal, so he's replenishing. He brought in Cam Coleman. He also brings in from the portal Keandre Smith and Robert Lewis. So he also brought in a tight end in Rico Walker. Basically, Hugh Freeze has rebuilt the entire offense in one fell swoop here. This is the number 8 recruiting class in nationally, 5th in the SEC, 23 recruits he brought in. Okay, so although he lost some guys in the portal, he's replenished already. This team is – the hope with this team is that they get into a bowl game. October 5th, they're at Georgia, not going to be easy. And then they end their schedule with November 23rd, Texas A&M, and then November 30th at Alabama. So the hope has got to be that they have a good – first part of this season, so that when you get to the end and we get those 2 teams at the end of that schedule, they still have room to make a bowl. I think it's close. They may get into a bowl game this year, Auburn. We're going to find out. Hugh Freeze has got the quarterback in place right now to do it, so we're going to figure out if they can get there. Question marks all over the place, but disappointing 6-7. I think they're going to do – they may be 8. They may have 9. We're going to see how they can do early on, and that will determine what happens with this team. Kev, where are we going next?
To the team that must have pissed off the SEC schedule makers, the Florida Gators. They went 5-7 last year. They were sitting there 5-2, looking like they had a chance for a decent year. They lost their last 5, including 4 to top 20 teams. And that's part of playing the SEC. Billy Napier comes back for his 3rd year. Now they bring back, you know, most of their defense comes back. So you know that they're going to be fine there. The quarterback play, it's going to be a battle. You know, they're going to go with Graham Mertz to start. Graham Mertz is really a game manager. Last year, 20 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. Played the full year, threw for under 3,000 yards. They have a dynamic 5-star recruit in DJ Lagwe. This kid needs to play this year, some way, somehow, you know, whether it's a couple of packages, a couple, you know, a package here or there in every game, he needs to play in time. This kid's going to be special. Running back, they lose Trevor Etienne, but they do bring back Montrell Johnson Jr. Wide receiver, they bring back Eugene Wilson III. They lost Ricky Pearsall, but they're bringing in Elijah Badger from Arizona State and Chimere Dike from Wisconsin. But as I mentioned, their schedule, this is really the talking point for Florida. They open up home for Miami. Then their games against Texas A&M at home, at Tennessee. Then you hit November, home for Georgia, at Texas, home for LSU, home for Ole Miss, and at Florida State. That's, if you count it along with me, that's 8 teams ranked in the top 25 in the preseason polls. They've got about as They've got the most difficult schedule in the entire country. They could have a great year and probably finish 6-6 with the teams that they're playing against here. It's going to be an uphill battle for Florida this year to make some noise. I don't know if that's what I think. You know, it's going to be important to get Lagwe some playing time here. I think he's going to be the key. You know, you've got to see what you've got with this kid. You've got to let him get some playing time, get some experience, and look to next year, really. I mean, this year, with that schedule, like I said, 5-6 wins is going to be the most for them. I don't know if you agree with me, Darren, with that one, or if you've got some other teams you want to talk about.
Well, I actually think you're right. I think it's a really tough schedule. I'm going to start with a trivia on the next team I want to talk about. So in 2014, they started the college football playoff. Can you tell me who the first number one ranked team was in the college football playoff rankings? The first time the ranking came out. If you guessed Mississippi State, you would be correct. The Dan Mullen, Dak Prescott, Mississippi State team was the first ever team ranked one in the first poll that ever came out. You know, listen, Mississippi State is an interesting team. They had a horrible year last year. And you know what? They held Ole Miss to 17 points and lost in the Egg Bowl game, or they could have went bowling. They lost by 7 at South Carolina in a game that they could have won. They lost a couple of other ones that were close. Auburn was a one-score game late. So they were real close, and they weren't good. That's how dominant the SEC is, that it's a fine line between being good and being bad. And right now, this team is rebuilding, okay? Dan, this team has been every other coach for the last five coaches. Dan Mullen was real good. Then when he left for Florida, they went to Joe Moorhead, who sucked. Then they brought in Mike Leach, who did a great job building it back up. Leach passed away, unfortunately. They go to Zach Arnett. I'm sorry, last year, who was not good, and now they go on to Jeff Lebby, who comes in as a big time offensive coordinator out of Oklahoma, and they're hoping that this every other coach thing works out, and Lebby is the next guy to get them going. Okay, the offense struggled all year last year. They were horrible on third down. They dinked and dunked all the time. Had trouble throwing the ball down the field. So now they start over, and it all starts with new quarterback Blake Shapen out of Baylor. Blake Shapen is not exactly the biggest arm guy or the fastest guy, but what he is a baller. He plays hard, he plays rough, and he'll do everything that they need. He's tough as nails, and he will get the ball down the field much more than they did last year. Wide receiver group solid. Jordan Mosley returns. Louisville transfer Kevin Coleman comes in. UTEP transfer Kelly Akarai comes in. The O-line loses everybody except for one guy that was somewhat of a starter in the 6'8 behemoth, 325-pound tackle mountain of a man named what was his name last year? I'm sorry about that. I'm blanking on his name. Bell. I can't remember his first name. Leon Bell. My mistake. Okay, so that's the only guy that's remotely returning on the O-line. Everybody else is a transfer on this team. Running back, Penn State transfer Kayvon Lee will kind of get a look early, but Utah State transfer Davon Booth will be the guy that takes over. He's that good. Okay, tight ends Justin and Cameron Ball, yes, relation. They'll be good ones. They're both coming in as transfers to get the job done. Defensively, Mississippi State should be solid in the back seven, okay? Safeties Corey Ellington and Isaac Smith will anchor the back of the defense. West Virginia transfer Montre Miller leads the cornerbacks, okay? Linebackers are led by mainstay J.P. Purvis and South Carolina transfer Stone Blanton. If there's a better name for a linebacker, I don't know what it is than Stone Blanton. It just sounds tough. He's going to try to lead them at the linebacking core. Up front, the defensive ends, Ty Cooper and Deontay Russell will need to get pressure on the quarterback from the outside. Both defensive tackles have moved on, and they're being replaced by transfers. We don't know what we're going to get there. But the schedule on this team, not easy. They go to Texas. They go to Georgia. They go to Tennessee. They go to Ole Miss. That sucks. They also get to play home for Florida, A&M, and Missouri. So they don't have an easy schedule. To me, their biggest game is their home SEC opener. Okay, they play Florida at home on 9/21. Lebby's first game in the SEC. The team's going to get better as the year goes on, but that's going to be the litmus test to see how good they're going to be against SEC competition. That's a game that Florida circles is a game that they have to win on the road, and it's a game that Mississippi State has to circle that they have to win at home. And we'll see what happens. But I think that this team is probably just a shade below being a bowl team, probably a 4-5 win team. They'll need to win one or two that you're not expecting in order to get bowling. G, who's your next squad, pal?
My next squad is Arkansas, who is probably one of the worst teams in this conference. They were disappointing 4-8 last year. This is Sam Pittman's fifth season. He sent two guys to the NFL. These were sixth-round picks, so he really didn't have a lot of talent. The talent is not great with Arkansas right now. He lost quarterback KJ Jefferson in the portal. He also lost running back Raheem Sadeen in the portal, linebacker Jalen Thomas in the portal. So he's had to replenish. He didn't have a great recruiting class this year, so the pickings are slim. He did bring Taylen Green in from Boise State, the quarterback. He brought in Jaquan Jackson from Utah, the running back. They're hoping to put something together, start advancing. He does return senior defensive end Landon Jackson, probably one of the best players on this team right now. unfortunately, this team is probably a 3-win, 4-win team. One of their worst games on this schedule is going to be at LSU. That's probably going to be not a great game with the way this team looks right now. But Sam Pittman trying to get this team back to a bowl. Right now, it's an uphill battle. He's probably a couple of years away before this happens, though. Kev, who's next on the list, buddy?
Saving the best for last. You got 30 minutes to talk about the South Carolina Gamecocks?
We do not.
Nobody deserves to listen to Gamecocks football for 30 minutes. Shane Beamer going to his fourth year here. Last year, 5-7, despite having some talent on offense, who are all gone now. Spencer Rattler off to the NFL with the Saints. Xavier Leggett, first-round pick, off to the Carolina Panthers. Their leading running back, Mario Anderson, transfers to Memphis. So what's left? 14 transfers in on offense. Now, they do have a couple of guys returning. Lenora Sellers, big kid, 6'3", 242 pounds. He's going to be the quarterback to start the season. I saw him last year. The one game he did play, fourth quarter, mop-up duty, 4-for-4, long touchdown run, couple long passes. The kid's got talent. Question is, can he do it in the SEC? We'll find out. Wide receiver, sophomore, was a 5-star recruit, Nick Harbor. He comes back. Can he play up to his 5-star billing? Running back, they did bring in a real good transfer here from Arkansas, Raheem Sanders. Last year, injury, played year 2 years ago for Arkansas. He had over 1,000 yards in the SEC. That could be sneaky good, you know, having him in here. They brought in Gage Lavardane from Miami of Ohio as wide receiver to help, you know, on the other side of Nick Harbor. Left tackle, they're bringing in 3 transfers because the offensive line was atrocious last year. And they signed one of the, if not the highest rated offensive tackle in the class last year. 6'8", 345-pound young man, Cam Pringle. Stayed home in South Carolina. Big get for Shane Beamer. Let's see what this mishmash of transfers and new kids in does for the offense. On defense, you know, they had a very young secondary last year. 5 of the 6 come back. They did bring in 6 transfers into the defensive line and linebacker. The problem last year watching this team, they didn't really give up the big plays. Teams would just grind out and drive the ball down the field on them. It felt like every time it was 3rd and 5 and they gave up 8 yards for the first down, they did not make any plays on defense. If they want to have any chance of success this year, they're going to have the defense start turning people over. But it's going to be tough. Looked at some of the preseason betting odds here. 4 of their games are favored by double-digit points. The other 8 games, they're underdogs by 9.5 points or more. So, I mean, you've got a wide swing there of who they're playing against here. Their schedule, I mentioned Florida's a couple of minutes ago. This is almost as tough. They're home for LSU. They're home for Ole Miss. At Alabama. At Oklahoma. Home for Texas A&M. Home for Missouri. And at Clemson. I mean, that right there is 7 teams in the top 20 also that they're playing. Again, you know, if you can get one of those wins, you know, now you're looking at maybe 5 wins at a ceiling. This is going to be a tough year. It looks like it's a rebuilding year. They've got a lot of young talent. The question is, you know, with this age of transfers and NIL, you know, we're used to seeing teams that can build towards something for a couple of years down the road. That doesn't happen anymore. Unless Beamer can keep these guys in, you know, start building a younger team that can contend. Again, they're probably looking more realistically at 2025. This year is going to be 4 or 5 wins, unfortunately. And Darren, I think we've got one team left.
Oh, we have the bottom feeder.
Everybody wants to talk about. Everybody wants to play one or the other.
Let's talk Vanderbilt football. Coach Clark Lee and his 2-10 Vandy team, they have a tall task in front of them, as you can see. Vandy's never even won 10 games in a season in their history. They've won 9 games 4 times. Back-to-back years from Franklin before Penn State swooped them up. The other 2 are in the early 1900s, 1904 and 1915. So they don't exactly have a huge history of football. And they really, great academics, all the other stuff, they just don't compete on the football field very well. You know, last year they lost every SEC game they played, and they lost all of them by double digits. They were not competitive. On offense, Vandy is all about the transfer portal. Diego Pavia comes in from New Mexico State along with his offensive coordinator, Tim Beck. And Pavia is like one of those fun kids that runs around and throws on the run and does a lot of dangerous things. And he'll make Vanderbilt a little bit more fun. But the fact of the matter is the talent around them may not be good enough. The top three wide receivers are gone, but Texas Tech transfer Loich Fongi should be the go-to guy. They also bring in tight end Eli Stowers from New Mexico State as well. So those are the guys you got to watch for. And while Pavia can run, the workhorse will be running back Cedric Alexander, who was solid last year and hopefully continues to grow. The O-line is three transfers, and they're rebuilding there too. The defense, the line will rely on Purdue transfer Cordae Sidnor to get to the quarterback, and Davin Lee returns to help clog up the middle. They're okay against the run, but not great. The linebacking core returns leading tackler Langston Patterson and outside linebacker Prince Colley. And Colley should be able to get to the quarterback, okay? Secondary returns a solid safety tandem with C.J. Taylor and DeRicky Wright. TCU transfer Randone Fontenette will help a cornerback. With that said, Vandy allowed teams to convert 47% of their third downs. Could not get off the field. It's awful. They're going to need to do better. And the schedule maker, every game's a tough game for Vandy. I can list every game on the schedule as a tough game. But they visit Missouri and LSU, which are hard. They host Bama, Texas, and Tennessee. To me, their big game is South Carolina on November 9th, and I'm going to tell you why. It's a winnable conference game at home, and they have to find a way to win that game. They have a not-so-devastating out-of-conference schedule. If they win that one and steal one other, they could find their way to 6-6 and make themselves bowling. Most likely, this team is probably looking more like 3-9, but anything is possible, and that's how we wrap up the Vanderbilt Commodores. And, you know, that's how we wrap up the SEC. Guys, any comments or thoughts on the SEC before we wrap up the program here?
Just going to be another hell of a year with, like we said, the top 20 teams in this conference. And we go through, it's really going to depend. The winner of this conference might come down to the schedule.
The funny part about this conference, and we did the Big Ten last week, and Big Ten's a great league also, but the depth in this league, the game in, game out, with the exception of when Vandy comes onto the schedule, not to insult Vanderbilt, is brutal. Nobody wants to go play Florida. Nobody wants to play Arkansas in Fayetteville. Nobody wants to go down and hear the cowbell at Mississippi State. And these are the lower teams. Nobody wants to play at South Carolina, who was picked last in basketball, too, and found a way to make the NCAA tournament. So you never know with these early season predictions. But the SEC is going to be stacked. This is going to be a really, really, really fun league. And, you know, hopefully we helped you with a little bit of insight today. If you have any questions or follow-ups, please email us. Let us know what your thoughts. If you disagree with our analysis or our synopsis of your team, tell us. We'd love to hear from you. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren. I'm here with Kevin and Gino talking about the wonderful, wild, wacky world of the SEC, where Texas and Oklahoma join, where Texas A&M thought they were escaping Texas, and Texas followed them there anyway. You know, follow us anywhere you can download, anywhere you get a podcast. Follow us on Facebook and then Instagram and all the other stuff we do. And, you know, really just give us your feedback as much as possible. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.